Counsel to Workers in Publishing Houses. Brooklyn, New York, November 25th, 1890. John to the seven churches which are in Asia. Grace be unto you, and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and forever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Revelation 1, verse 4-8. After this is given a message revealing future events, for John is commanded to write, "The things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter." Verse 19. Matters of deep importance were opened before John, which were to be given to the world to be read, understood, and appreciated in the ages to come. Again and again the true witness says, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Revelation 2, verse 7. But it is evident from what is written that some who have ears to hear, will not receive the message, and will not become wise in the Scriptures. The Lord Jesus, the Alpha and Omega, gave a message to John in regard to the work of the churches, for he understood how great would be the danger of neglecting their God-given work and thus make a failure of diffusing light to others. The invitation of the gospel was to extend from Christ to the church and from the church to the world. And the Spirit and the bride say, "Come," and let him that heareth say, "Come," and let him that is athirst say, "Come," and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Revelation 22, verse 17. The work of diffusing the gospel is neglected by those who are specified as hearing. But when the professed people of God hear the message to some purpose, when they take on the burden of the work and say to others, "Come," then they will become laborers together with God. During the night, I have been in communion with God. I have been brought by my guide into councils in Battle Creek, and I have a message to bear to you, whether you will hear or not, whether you will receive it or reject it. The people must know that they are not moving in the order of God. They have left Christ out of their counsels. Leading men are giving a mold to the work that will result in a loss of many souls, for they are moving away from the safe path. Many come here from foreign countries, thinking that Battle Creek, from whence come the publications of truth, will be next to heaven. How disappointed they feel when they hear in this place the message of God spoken of lightly, when they hear the messengers of God, by some in responsible places, made a subject of ridicule. And why is this? It is because the message of the messengers does not coincide in every particular with the ideas of those whom the Lord names of his scorners, although it is a message sent from heaven. Where the truth is rejected, it opens up a way where false waymarks will be set up, and perils will rise on all sides. Through neglect of seeking the earnest counsel of God, men will be connected with the office who will form themselves into a ring, to echo the sentiments of him whom they consider most influential and who pleases their human ideas. My guide spoke slowly and solemnly. "Associate yourselves, O ye people, and ye shall be broken in pieces. And give ear, all ye far countries. Gird yourselves, and ye shall be broken in pieces. Take counsel together, and it shall come to naught. Speak the word, and it shall not stand, for God is with us. Isaiah 8, verse 9, 10. Men may be selected by the conference to connect with the office of publication, but unless these men look to God and with a transformation of character, unless they realize that eternal vigilance is the price of safety, unless they seek counsel of God in large and small matters concerning things connected with the sacred work of God, unless they are emptied of vanity and self, they will be turned from the safe path and will turn others from the path cast up for the ransomed of the Lord. Unless these associated together are converted men, and they walk in, see, realize the sacredness of the work of God for these last times, they will surely imperil the work of God, and discouragement will come upon the people. It is not enough that they assent to the truth. The question is, are they sanctified through the truth? Has the truth been brought into the inner sanctuary of the soul? The past, present, and future was plainly revealed to me. When Brother Chadwick was connected with the office at first, he needed a decided change in his character. He needed the gentleness of Christ. His connection has not been to his advantage or to the benefit of those with whom he was connected. But the atmosphere he has breathed, the words, the precepts, and the example of strong minds and firm wills set in a wrong way brought to the front objectionable traits of his character. He has become sick at heart and desperate in impulse when opposed, and he is a man with another spirit. Saul became another man because the Spirit of the Lord rested upon him, and he had another heart given him. But in the case of Brother Chadwick, the change is of a different character and from a different source. I have no words to speak, individually, to the men from whom this influence has come. My words must be spoken to them as a whole. It is not to be left to them to repeat my words as they have done, interpret them as they please, and thus transmit them to others. I wish to present the matter to them from my own lips as God has presented it to me. How long shall blindness be upon men who have evidence piled on evidence that the testimonies are indicted by the Spirit of God to His people? How long shall men in positions of trust fail to discern how and where God is working? Eyes have they, but they see not. Ears have they, but they hear not. Understanding have they, but they understand not the things of God. Reproofs should not harden you, for, behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore, despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty, for he maketh sore, and he bindeth up. He woundeth, and his hands maketh whole. Job 5, verse 17, 18. Many of the old, experienced hands have fallen in death. Those who led out in the work of God, and who could tell how it came into existence, have passed away from the scene of action. In every branch of the work, men have been departing from the principles laid down by the Lord Jehovah to control the working of the cause. Inexperienced hands and unsanctified minds have been placing their mold upon the work, and self has been woven into it in every branch. Before the destruction of the old world, there were talented men, men who possessed skill and knowledge, but they became lifted up in their own imaginations, just as men are doing today. And because they left God out of their plans and counsels, they became wise to do that which God had never told them to do, wise to do evil. Their wisdom would have worked destruction to those who should be born, who should come in contact with them, and the Lord took the matter in hand and cut them off from the earth. After sending them warnings for 120 years, God's mercy and forbearance was exhausted, and then the day of probation was ended. The probation given them in mercy they devoted to ridiculing Noah, whom God had sent with a message. They caricatured and criticized him, just as some who thought themselves wise have done. They have laughed at the messengers, just as they did in Noah's day for his peculiar earnestness and for his intense feelings in regard to the judgments that were sure to come. Noah warned them that God would fulfill his word, but they reasoned among themselves. They talked of science and of the laws controlling nature, and they laughed Noah to scorn, calling him a crazy fanatic. Men who believe themselves to be wise in our days will do good to their own souls and to the souls for whom Christ died if they recognize that there is a wisdom, an unsanctified wisdom, that comes from beneath, which has been in the world ever since the fall. I have been shown that there is a great want of personal piety among the workers in the office, nearly every one of them, and that their unsanctified wisdom is the result of a lack of connection with God. They take very little time to seek God's counsel with humble contrition of soul, with earnest searching of heart. Self-sufficient, they walk in the sparks of their own kindling. The spiritual atmosphere which surrounds their soul does not make manifest that they have constant reliance upon God. The most sacred truths are fast losing their preciousness and sanctity to them because they do not have a full connection with God and receive the things that be of God. Unless the converting power of God shall be felt upon the hearts and characters of men in positions of trust, they will not, cannot be one with Christ, keeping the way of the Lord. But like the Pharisees in the days of Christ, they will teach the doctrines and commandments of men, and the Lord will have no more use for them. They cannot be laborers together with God while they keep the spirit that has actuated them in the past. They have felt but little respect for those who have stood under the direction of God in seeking counsel from Him who is mighty in wisdom, in founding and building up His great work in the earth. The consecration, the vital piety, the humility which God requires does not exist among them. Self is exalted, and Jesus is not glorified. Jesus, the blessed and only potentate between God and man, is not working with them. Satan's insinuations are credited, and plain commands of God in regard to mercy and tender compassion are ignored. Those who are handling sacred truths in the publishing work, or in any branch of the cause of God, are invited of God to put forth their highest mental and moral energies, to study continually in their business line, not the will of men, but the will of God. The office is fast losing its peculiar character the Lord directed in its establishment, and it is never to take a worldly mold. Those who are welded together to sustain each other, determined to carry out certain plans without the counsel of the church or of the people, may succeed for a time, but not long, for God will not permit it. There is too much self, too much confidence in what men can do, too little confidence and dependence upon God, the divine ruler. Men handling sacred things are not to speak lightly, but with trembling, of the work of God. God's grace must be manifested in all the work, of whatever kind it may be. The proud heart must be humbled every day before God, lest He shall humble it. Success of the right kind will attend your efforts in proportion to your consecration, self-denial, and self-sacrifice. I was instructed that the Lord's will was not fulfilled when the leaders in the office were willing to take such large wages. But how quickly was the bribe taken? How quickly selfishness was manifested? This is greatly at variance with the principles upon which the publishing house was established, and it is not in harmony with the spirit and work of God. There have been serious mistakes made in exalting business above the service and worship of God. Here is where thousands have made shipwreck of faith and made the greatest possible mistake. The Lord says we are to be not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Romans 12, verse 11. The Lord has left a wide door open for those who would go into His work, but energy must be mingled with another element, with living zeal in the service of God. We must be not only diligent in business, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Devotion and piety and godliness must be interwoven into every transaction. Without this in your business, you will commit robbery toward God while professing to serve Him. We see family and home religion neglected, altars broken down, first love abandoned, and the religion of Christ expelled from the soul, to give place to engaging in speculation and business enterprises, and these things are constantly multiplying. Men are leaving God and heaven out of their calculations, and time spent in searching the heart is considered wasted. The Bible is neglected, and a multitude of cares overbalance the precious truth of God in the heart, and spiritual eyesight is put out. How much men need the heavenly anointing!